it's fun how God like just sets things up and aligns things where he'll have you somewhere, and then there will just be confirmation after confirmation after confirmation with things that are said, with prayers that are prayed right before going into it, with side room talks, with just all sorts of things where it's where God just it's like Holy Spirit's doing something and speaking something, and when you're tuning into that frequency, if you want to hear it, to his voice, it's like he's releasing the same thing through a lot of lives of people around you, and then it's just awesome confirmation to hear that someone else is picking up the same frequency that you're picking up. I apologize that my voice sounds like this. I was in Seattle last week, and I don't know if the change of climate and all that, it's I've got a lot going on sinus wise, so really apologize for that. It was super fun singing and then talking, but it will be good. We'll get through it. But on the Sid reached out to me this week and asked if I could teach, and I had, you know, a 5-hour flight to Seattle twice this week, so it gave me a lot of time to sit and reflect and ponder and think about what we were going to talk about today and pray about it. And the Lord just kind of was drawing back to my mind all the things that have been happening in the house lately, all the things that people have been saying, you know, just like spontaneously in the middle of worship, and just there's been kind of like, in my mind, and maybe I've interpreted it differently, this whole theme in those of saying yes to God and not just like sitting back in your chair and just doing church, but chasing after deeper levels of him, saying yes to whatever that looks like. And so this morning, what we're going to be talking about is something that I've shared with the youth before, which that's probably going to be a common theme too, is that you guys will be like, hey, Tyler's talked about this before, but there's just some things that God brings back to my mind when I'm going through some things. And so this morning's going to be all about going deeper, and we're going to start with reading a scripture in Ezekiel 47. Should be a pretty familiar passage. we're going to read like 12 verses, I think. That's what I told Casey earlier. We'll see if that is true. And yeah, perfect. Okay. So this is a vision that Ezekiel is having, where an angel is kind of being like a guide and bringing him. And this is where it's picking up. So saying, then he brought me. So the angel is bringing Ezekiel back to the door of the temple. And behold, water was issuing from below there, from below the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. The water was flowing down from below the south end of the threshold of the temple, south of the altar. Then he brought me out by the way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gate that faces toward the east. And behold, the water was trickling out of the south side. Going on eastward with a measuring line in his hand, the man measured 1,000 cubits, which a cubit is this long for reference. Depending on how tall you are, a cubit could be different a little bit, I guess. The man measured 1,000 cubits and then led me through the water, and it was ankle deep. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and it was knee deep. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and it was waist deep. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass through, for the water had risen. It was deep enough to swim in, a river that could not be passed through. And he said to me, son of man, have you seen this? Then he led me back to the bank of the river. As I went back, I saw on the bank of the river very many trees on the one side and on the other. And he said to me, this water flows towards the eastern region and goes down to Arabah and enters the sea. When the water flows into the sea, the water will become fresh. And wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live, and there will be very many fish, for this water goes there, that the waters of the sea may become fresh, so everything will live where the river goes. Fishermen will stand beside the sea from En Gedi to En Eglaim. Maybe I want to keep reading here. Hold on. Sure, we'll keep reading. It will be a place for the spreading of nets. Its fish will be very many kinds, like the fish of the great sea. But the swamps and marshes will not become fresh, for they are to be left for salt. And on the banks of both sides of the river, there will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail. But they will bear fresh fruit every month. because the water for them flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for good, for food, and their leaves for healing. And so, so basically what you have, just a small recap, is you've got this river flowing from the throne room. And it starts out as way over here. It starts out as a, we'll say that the drum cage is the throne room. Good job, Chad. It starts out here, and it's a little bitty trickle, little bitty stream, right? It's just, if you guys have ever seen, like, if you're up in the mountains and you see where, like, a fresh spring starts, it's just a very little bit of water coming up out of the ground. And as it goes, it, in those cases, adds with more water and becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. But so we've got this really small stream that's a trickle that's coming from that. Then you get ankle deep, you get knee deep, you get waist deep somewhere around over here at the base, and then over there at the piano, you are in a river that is too deep to swim through, too wide. Have you guys ever seen, has everyone here seen the Mississippi, like at the big parts? It's a big river, right? It's not like Wadawi where you're looking across the cove or whatever. You can swim across Wadawi. It's super easy. Like, even if a current's going, we're not on the big water part. We're like, it's, you know, a river going through. You can swim across that. No big deal. Not really a big current going. But Mississippi, like, if you're looking out there, you can't really see the force that's coming with the water, but it's so deep and it's so wide. I don't think you could swim across certain parts of it. Like, I think it would just push you on down. You may eventually get to the other side, but it would have its way with where you're going for quite some time. But this river that we're looking at here, we're going to be talking about that this river provides miraculous and abundant provision to everything it comes in contact with. And I want to talk about the importance of that river in our lives as Christians. How, you know, Isaac just did, you know, a call to salvation. And when you get saved, you might be over here, right? You may have just stepped in this little trickle where you're in it. It's great, right? You're in the river that's attached to the throne room. Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life and everything's good. But right here, I'm not worried about slipping. I'm not worried about falling. I'm completely in control of what I'm doing right here. If you've ever stood in a little creek, you're in complete control. Now you might like slip on a little, you know, smooth rock or something, but you're in complete control. Then you go to where it's knee deep. You're still in a lot of control, right? You're still not at the whims of whatever the water's doing. You're good to go. You can control what you want to do. If you want to step out of it, if you want to walk against the current, whatever, you're good. All right, so how many of you guys have gone whitewater rafting or kayaking or something to that effect, or stood in a stream where you're fly fishing? Once you get to where the water's like waist deep, you're losing a little bit of control. You got to really be cautious about your steps. You got to really think about your intentions at that point, because you're really starting to relinquish some control. And you're starting to feel the force of the water and what it can do. Well, then you get to a point like we talked about with the Mississippi, or where you're in, like, I don't know, maybe a class 5 rapid on something. You're not in control anymore. You're over here and you're just saying, hey, wherever this water is going, I guess that's where I'm going to go. And you have left complete control. And our problem, me, I'm talking to myself a lot of times, and as a lot of Christians, is we will stay way over here and we will never want to give up that control. And so we will live a nominal Christian life where we're not impacting the people that we're going to, where that life that this river is providing, we're just minimally able to do anything with it, right? Like, it's just our feet that's wet. So if I bump into Terry Hagen, my arm's not covered in that, right? So I'm not getting her, I'm not splashing onto her the life that's supposed to be flowing from what I'm standing in. But if I'm all the way over here and I bump into Terry Hagen, your arm's going to be just as wet as me when I walk away from you, because I am now in something that I don't have control of. I'm going where it goes, and it is bringing life to everything it talks about. So what we're going to be focusing on this morning is that, like in the vision, it was an angel. He called him a man a couple times. It's Holy Spirit is our guide in this. And he's taking us from this very first step of, hey, we're ankle deep. But like, first, let's get in the river, right? What Isaac said, say yes to Jesus, start a relationship with him and a walk with him and know what's available to you in that. Not in a selfish way of speaking that, but saying, God, I can go as deep in this thing with you as I physically want to. I can stay in complete control and not be walking in the purpose that you've called me to. And just be worried about me and my salvation, maybe my family. Or I can say yes to whatever that looks like. I can go here and I can get a little more in it. And it's great and it's amazing, but know that God has something even deeper that he wants me to go into. So Holy Spirit is guiding us into that and showing us what God has available to us. And when you begin to walk downstream towards a deeper relationship with God, the further you go, the more force is behind it that's not you, it's God. It's the more where we don't have control and we really start to question our ability to control what's going on, and that's the point. God never intended you to be in control of your spiritual walk. He wants our yes. It's up to our choice as to what level we go with him. So like, he's not forcing you to go deeper downstream. And when you are all the way down here, about all you can really do is try and fight against the current and get out of it, or you can just go where it goes. So, I mean, there's been times where, you know, I know I have been all the way here where it's just going where it needs to go. And for some reason, I'm just starting to work my way towards the edge because I don't like the feeling of not being in control, or it's uncomfortable, or it doesn't feel... We just have this innate sense of wanting to be in control of things. And so what the challenge is to never leave that part, to get to that part and just keep going. See, in real life, that's scary. I wouldn't want to be just at the whims of a river taking me somewhere, because you got to figure out logistics to get back. Like whenever you go kayaking, they're like, don't miss this bridge, because if you do, it's going to be a long time, and then it's just super inconvenient. So in life, that could be scary, not having control. But in this, it's not scary at all. There's nothing scary about God being in control. It might feel that way at first, because it's something you got to get used to. It might feel like, I don't know what my friend group is going to think about me if my life just looks radical. I don't know what my coworkers are going to say if this or that. People are used to seeing me do worship a certain way. They're used to this, and then it's going to, like, I don't know, you insert whatever it is. It's the opinion of man that keeps us from wanting to get down there. All we have to do is answer this question to God and Holy Spirit of how deep are we willing to go? It's an open invitation where he says, hey, I want Holy Spirit to lead you here. If you decide to stop walking and you want to stay ankle deep, that's fine. Holy Spirit's going to stay with you right there. But the whole time he's going to be like, hey, come on, we can go this way. How much control do we want to have versus how much do we want to give God over our lives? And I want all of us to chase after God in such a way that we allow Holy Spirit to take us deeper. I want the level that we are right now, whether we're ankle deep, whether we're knee deep, whether it's waist deep, to say that's not enough. To say, God, I want more of you. More of you and less of me. That should literally be our heart cry every single day. To wake up every single morning and no matter how good yesterday was with God, today can be even better. It's not this thing where, like, we were talking in the side room about like the revival nights and how long those last and 4 hours in a single song and all those things. And somehow, like, to my memory, granted, I was younger in that. I was 10 or 11 years old probably, but it was never a, I hope tonight's like last night was, right? It was just show up and what's God going to do tonight? And whatever that looks like, it's going to be that thing. Guys, we have that opportunity every single Sunday morning to be the same way, regardless of anything. Honestly, regardless of whatever your week looked like. If you didn't open your Bible a single time through the week and give God your yes during the week, you can this morning. If you miss it Monday or Tuesday, I decided to do this like crazy dumb thing with Noah where we're going to run a marathon next month. And the past 3 weeks have been really bad for me because we closed on a new house. We're moving, we're packing, we're doing all that. I was sick a little bit during it. I've been in Seattle, and it just has not given you the time to do marathon prep. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't want to face Noah because I'm going to be like way behind him right now. And like I had the thought yesterday, kind of thinking of this morning, is like, it's so easy to get in a mindset of the past 3 weeks have not been good, so I can't just start again because I'm thinking about where I've fallen off. And that kind of cripples you into doing it. That's the reason that like a lot of times diets and all those sorts of things don't work for people, is they'll have a couple of bad things and then they keep pushing that excuse. Or someone doesn't come to church for a while. We talked about this recently. Someone misses a few weeks of church and then they feel embarrassed to come back because it's like, I've been gone for a while. Like whatever it may be. And it just keeps you in this habit of missing it. And the beauty of this whole thing is if I was waist deep right here and for some reason I'd got out of the stream, Holy Spirit's not like, all right, go back, start baby steps and work your way up here. It's God, I'm going to say yes to you. And he has this wonderful way of just redeeming and restoring to us. Okay, let's just pick up right where we left off. And you know what? Let's just keep going and doing this. So it's an open invitation. Every single time we gather, every single time you're at your house in the morning and you open your Bible to read it, it's this open invitation of knock and I will open the door. Ask and you will receive. Chase after me and you're going to find me. And it's going to be deeper and it's going to be better. No one, I mean, I've been married to Ambry 10 years now, and I know her in a deeper level now than I did at year 5. If I knew everything I was ever going to know about her after 1 year, okay, it'd be really predictable from there on out, and it's fine. And luckily, that just keeps growing and going deeper and deeper and deeper from my vantage, and hope she feels the same way. But it's this thing where there's never, in the story, it makes it to the sea and it brings life to everything. And I mean, I guess if you think of it from that route, like the sea is infinitely deep and you can keep going deeper and deeper, but it's never this thing of, you're never going to know everything there is to know about God. You're never going to get so deep in him that you just hit the limit, right? Until maybe we're in heaven and then maybe he reveals it all to us. I don't really know. But it's this open invitation of just whatever the yes is to God. Your yes, it doesn't have to be, it's not like there's different levels of a yes. It's just a yes. So all of us have the choice of where we want to be. It's just a level of giving up control, of saying, God, I know I want to be connected to you. I know I want to have a relationship with you in covenant, but I'm okay right here. And that's a shame. It's fine. It's a shame though, because when you're right here, it's so much harder to impact the people that you're coming in contact with. It is so much more difficult. The thing about being completely downstream in the river is what it says is that river brings life to everything it touches. It produces fruit in every single month, right? It's like you look in the desert and you've got like anywhere there's water in a desert, you've got this lush green vibrance. And then like 100 feet over, you got sand forever. Like it doesn't matter. As long as the water's flowing, there's going to be life there. And the thing about this river that we're attached to in God is anywhere it goes, life goes with it. And so if we're part of something that is providing life and fruit, then the people that we come in contact with are going to experience that life and fruit. Over here, probably not. They may not even know you're in the river, right? Let's go to Jeremiah real quick. Jeremiah chapter 1. We're going to, we're going to 4-9. Did I tell you 4-6? Go 4-9 if you can. Okay. Now, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a youth, for to all whom I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord put his hand on my hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, God does this amazing thing where he simply wants our yes, and then he leads us into that purpose, right? It said in this that I knew my plans for you before I even created you, right? God had this purpose for his life and for our lives. And he designed us to be able to fulfill and walk in that purpose. And all he wants for us to do is say, God, here I am, send me. To look at that verse at the end of verse 7 where it says, for to all whom I send you, you shall go, and wherever I whatever I command you, you shall speak. To say, okay, God, wherever you send me, I'm saying yes to that. I am giving up control of my ability to say, hey, I am going to go here, and I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. It's going to truly be, Holy Spirit, wherever you say I'm going to go. To actually live out that song that we sing, where you go, I go, what you say, I say, God. Which I'm pretty sure they got that inspiration from here in the scripture. But for that to actually be our life. To say wherever the river is flowing, I'm all in. And the cool thing about it is when it says right here at the very end, you know, Jeremiah makes this excuse of, I don't know what to do. I'm only a youth. I don't have the words to speak and all these things. And then the angel of the Lord says, well, just open your mouth and speak and I'll give you the words to say. And so God does this really cool thing where he's going to do 90% of the work for us. All we have to do is our 10% that says, God, my 10% is saying yes, and I'm getting in this river, and wherever it goes, I'm going to go, right? Because when you are in the Mississippi and you're floating down, your yes looks like literally wherever that river goes. There's no say-so until eventually it brings you out to the Gulf. And that's where you're going to go. And that's all the work we have to do. At that point, we're just connected to the source of life. We're just connected to the thing that's doing all the work. So that when you are way over here and you bump into someone and Holy Spirit says, hey, you should talk to this person, you should pray for them, whatever it is, you should witness to this person, which is something we need to do way more. It's because it's people's eternity in the balance and we're focused on ours. I don't want to just be up here focused on my eternity. I want to be in something that is touching everyone that I come in contact with. And then all my yes at that has to be is, oh my gosh, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do and all this. It's just opening my mouth. And Holy Spirit's going to give me, he's going to do the work for us. The purpose that he designed us for in the beginning was never meant to be done on our own strength. It was meant to be done through him. All we have to do is say yes. I know this is a very simple concept this morning, guys, but it's powerful if you'll let it be. Problem is we won't let it be because we want to be comfortable and in control. If we let go of our control and we don't swim against the current and live out where you go, I go, he'll do all the work. Not being afraid of where he'll take you, but rather excited for the life that will flow through you and splash to everyone that you come in contact with. To be able to, when we get and meet in our gatherings and we talk and all this, that our conversation is not just, well, did you catch the Seahawks game last week? Or did you do anything fun over the weekend, right? That's like my typical Monday morning talk with my boss when we're on Teams is, hey, what'd you do fun over the weekend? I want that conversation to be, hey, what did God do? What did we get to be a part of? Like, who did you get to talk to this week that there is a mark left on them from that conversation because of something that you were carrying with, something that you're carrying within you, but something that you were just fully surrounded by. That river that's flowing out of the throne room that you're part of, that river just begins to flow out of you and overflow to literally everything that you come in contact with. And the excitement of that, showing up on Sunday mornings. This is like most of our one time of corporate gathering that we get to have. And not to be harsh in this, but if you're not coming in with a level of anticipation and excitement, why are you wasting your time on a Sunday morning getting up and getting ready? Unless it's just a social thing, right? I want us to all show up saying, God, more of you and less of me. God, whatever this is going to look like, yeah, let's do it. To come in here with an expectation of God is good. to not have to talk back to the four-hour services 20 years ago, but talk back to 3 days ago what happened with you in a conversation you had with someone, or what did God reveal to you? And that only comes from people's yes. Guys, there were 12 people on the planet that had that yes that turned the entire world upside down. You look at, you go back and read all these Old Testament stories, and then you even look New Testament. One person's yes has generational impact. The amount of time that God blesses future generations because one person just had a heart of all out yes of, and didn't even have Holy Spirit as a guide at that point, right? Just pursued covenant with God in a much inferior system than we have now. Same God, but man, the access is so much easier for us now when we have literally part of God living on the inside of us, leading us. And you look back to those stories and you have one person's yes changed a nation, started a nation, had generational blessings. You also had people's no, and turning away from that caused generations of curses and bad things to happen. And so as I am looking at my family, looking at the youth, looking at the people that I have contact with, I want my yes to be so strong that 30 years from now, people I don't even know are still getting that same river because I allowed that river to flow out of me and because I was not in control. Because at that point, it's not about you. It's about the thing that you're tied to and what you are in. When we abide in the river and give up control, it becomes not about our strength or our own might, but about the power of what we are in. We feel powerless in our own strength, and that's the point. Right? Have any of you guys seen the new movie David, the animated one? If you haven't, you can watch it for free on Angel Studios. If you have Angel Studios, there's a little plug. If not, we can share a code with you and you can watch it. Or go in theaters if it's still in theaters and spend some money and support it. But it's a really good, really good creation of the story of David. And it brings to life a bunch of things. I wasn't really planning on talking about this morning, but it goes in here. And so you've got this little boy, David, when he's about to go fight Goliath. And they're all saying, are you not worried you're going to die? Look at this guy. He's like a massive giant and you're just this small kid. Like, what are you going to do? And, you know, David like chuckles and is very firm in this whole thing. And we know this is true from scripture where David's response is, yeah, I can't, but I'm not alone. I've got the God of heaven and earth on my side. So who is this giant to stand before God? And when we're over here, we're not answering that way. We're not seeing something that really needs a move of God or something that's impossible. We're not looking at it through the lens of I'm attached to something that can take care of anything I need. We're trying to ration in our mind how us and our own might can handle the situation. Where really, when we're over here, anything that comes our way shouldn't catch us off guard. It shouldn't be too big. It shouldn't be too scary or whatever it may be. It'd be like, hey, yeah, I can't. But what I'm in can. What I'm connected to can. And that changes your entire outlook on everything in life. That changes every situation that you look at. You're looking at it through a completely different lens at that point of the God of heaven is on my side. The God that created all of this, that nothing caught him off guard. Nothing catches him off guard. Who are you? Sickness, fear, whatever it is, to stand against God, who came once and for all to take care of all of that on the cross. It's easy to have that mindset when we're over here. It's really hard to have it when we're over here. So if you find yourself in whatever circumstances life throws it way, and fear is just gripping you and making you concerned about the outcome, I invite you to just go deeper with him. Because the deeper that we go with him, the less that stuff throws us off. Right? Look at the life of Paul. Dude was beaten, stoned, shipwrecked, left for dead, bit by snakes, all those different things, all those circumstances that would be super dire to us. I mean, like a poison snake bit him out of a fire and that should have killed anyone, but he wasn't even worried about it because he's like, God's got a bigger plan for me. I'm not concerned about that because my God can handle that, right? So he didn't die to the pit viper that bit him, right? It's one of those things of, I'm not worried about anything because everywhere that I go is where Holy Spirit is leading me. And everywhere I go, I am at this source. I am connected to life and abundance and health and just goodness that flows from the throne. In our weakness, he is made strong. We're not meant to carry the burden of, we're not meant to carry the burden in this relationship with God. He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He wants to carry the burden. Our part of the burden just looks like saying yes. Caring less about our plans and our control than we do his goodness and his love and his plans for us. The purpose that, as he told Jeremiah, that I had a plan for you before you were in your mother's womb. And if we realize that we were created with a very, very specific purpose, that before we were even born, before we had time to have the thoughts in our head of what we want our life to look like, there was a blueprint of what God planned for us to be able to do. And when we realize that his plans are higher than ours and his ways are higher than ours, and whatever his design for my life was has got to be infinitely better than my own design for it, then all of a sudden me saying yes and going deeper is going to give, selfishly speaking, me the best life I could possibly have because it's the life that was designed for it to be. When you're operating as you're designed, it's infinitely better. We're not meant to carry the burden, but to simply rest in the hands of the potter and to know that he is good, right? We're the clay. He's the potter. He is good. Whatever his plans are, whatever he forms us and wants us to be, is so much better. Where he leads is worth going because he's a good shepherd, right? If we veer off and the river goes this way and in our mind, we're like, no, it should really be going this way. Don't you see? This way looks much better. No, the shepherd knows what's around the corner and there's a reason we're going this way. And that's okay. It's actually good. What he speaks brings life. What the world needs is for us to be fully in the river. What our families need, what Elijah and Finn need for me, what your children need, what your friends need, what your parents need, what everyone you come in contact needs is for you to fully be yet saying yes to God's purpose in your life. Romans 8:19 says that creation eagerly awaits the manifestations of the sons of God. And that manifestation means to come about, to come into what something's supposed to be. So it says the creation. That means all of it. That doesn't just mean the people around us. That means, like the earth is eagerly awaiting the manifestation of us stepping in and saying yes to whatever that purpose is. To saying, God, whatever your plans are, where you go, I go, what you say, I say. The world desperately needs our unconditional, unwavering yes to wherever he leads. That's the whole point of everything I've got. I ran out of notes. So it's simple. And look, you guys are going to get out and go unless God just changes it and we just spend more time in whatever it is. Actually, Isaac, come up here. Let's do this. Come up and play something. Let's spend a few minutes, whether that's in your seat, whether that's down here at the altar. That's up to you guys to say yes to whatever that is. And I want us to spend a few moments really just evaluating where we're at. You know, if we're not even in the river yet, like Isaac said, that's the first step. Saying, God, I don't feel like I'm connected to the throne room right now. Maybe I know you and I am connected, but I don't feel like I'm in the river at all right now. Or maybe you've never been in the river because you're not connected right now, and that's okay too. That's this beautiful reason that he came, is so that we could be. It's the whole reason for all of it. So we're going to take a few moments, and we're going to just rest in a time of worship, a time of just stillness, and evaluate where we're at. And ask God to reveal you. Ask Holy Spirit to be that guide. And don't stop 1,000 meters this way and say, I'm happy and I'm complacent. Because the world needs us to be more than that. Your family needs you to be more than that. And God has this beautiful design for your life that if you don't ever step into it, it's a shame. I mean, it really is a shame, and it's going to be great. We're going to get to celebrate in heaven together one day, and we're going to get to all just experience his goodness and his glory. But man, I want to be able to cast crowns at his feet of not the things that I did, but the things that I was able to be a part of him doing. Because those crowns aren't ours. They're all his. It's just if we are going to position ourselves and say yes in a way that we're going to be storing up those crowns to cast at his feet. I don't want to show up and just have been a moocher off the goodness of God my whole life. I want generations after generations to have a mark left of God doing something in our yes. I talk about my grandmother all the time, where I mean, it's the same story for Sid. It's our whole sides of this. We're from our starting of Ed and Mary saying yes to God, and then look at the impact that that has had. Waking up with a mom that just had her Bible open all the time in the morning, and you knew that she was spending time with the Father. That's modeling that. When we had something going on that needed prayer, my grandmother saying, all right, we're all getting in the living room, but we're getting on our knees and we're praying. And we're seeking God's face. And then immediately seeing the answer to that. That doesn't happen over here. Those 4-hour worship sessions, all the things we're talking about, don't happen here. And I don't want a life of just being able to say, God, you're good, and I love you, and thank you for all that you've done for me. I want a life of let me tell you how good my God is. Of how was your weekend? Oh my goodness, the time in the house yesterday was so good. God did this in my life, in the life of the people that I talk to, not pointing back to further back in memory. And an anticipation and excitement of God, your plans are higher than mine, and I just can't wait to see what they are. So, invitation's yours. How deep do we want to go? How much control do we want to give up? You can stay seated. You can stand. Whatever it is, the altar's open. And if you need to say yes for the very first time, grab someone and let's do it.
Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit.
Spirit, we just thank you. God, we thank you that you sent us a helper to lead us, to guide us into all truth. We thank you that, God, no matter where we are, or that we're connected to the source of life, connected to the throne room, and that we have this open invitation to more of you and less of me, God. I pray that every single person, guys, we leave out here, Lord, that you would just stir something in our lives, God, that there would be a hunger and thirst for more of you. God, blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, God, and I pray that our heart cry would be, God, just to want more of you. To say, God, I give up control, whatever that looks like. I know that my plans are inferior, and that, God, whatever you have for my life is so much better than anything I could do on my own control. God, that I don't need my own strength. I don't need my own understanding. I just need knowledge of you.
I just need you to reveal yourself to me, and I just need, God, just to be along for the ride, God, to do my 10% of saying yes and just watch you do the rest and to flow through me, around me, out of me, God. I pray that you would just stir that up in each of us this week, God, that as we are just walking through our everyday life, that there's just such an excitement and anticipation about what could happen. What could this river touch that we pass by, that all of a sudden life is going to spring forth, that's never going to fade? God, we love you, we honor you, and we just say yes to whatever that looks like, God. It's in Jesus' name, amen.
Before we leave, Casey, can you pull up, do we have a graphic for the worship night? Or no? Maybe. Okay. As Tyler was speaking, I don't know if, I think a lot of you guys were at the first one, and it was amazing, and I think God really touched everybody that was there. But I want us to do something. One, I want you to put it on your calendar, and I want you to, if you can, I want you to be here, because I think God's going to do some big things. I know He is, but I want us to do something else. This is the information. Does it start at 5:30? Is that what time it started last time? Anybody remember? Six? Okay. 5:30? Okay. Well, I want you to first put it on your calendar, but I want this to be a time where we reach out and invite people, and you're going to get a lot of no's. I've learned that. I'm still learning that. You're going to get a lot of no's. But if you want to, I don't know, take a picture of this or just send the information, I want us to do it right now. Everybody has a phone, correct? Some people are going to be really mad at me. And I'm not doing this for numbers so we can fill this building up, but I'm doing this because I think God wants to reach people through this night, because it's a time where it's not a Sunday morning where you're not pulling anybody from a different church. You're not pulling anybody from different obligations and things they have to do. This is a time where we can just come in. There's no agenda. You don't have anything to do after, hopefully, because, you'll be up really late if you have something to do after. So I'm going to send it to some people right now. And I ask you, if you really just don't want to do it, that's fine. But this is part of the church, and it's reaching other people that are not just in this building. And so I'm going to send it first to my family group chat. Let's take a picture of it. So yeah, I just want other people to have the opportunity, and if they say no, they say no, but you don't even know the seed you're planting by just inviting them. So ask you to do that. And
I would add one thing to that. If you're not excited about coming about to something, you're probably not inviting someone to do it. That goes to Wednesday night, or that's a Sunday night. That goes to that, and that goes about Sunday mornings at church. Whatever it is, if you're just doing it for whatever box you're checking in your life, there's this difference where, talking about the anticipation, if you know every time that you gather corporately that, man, God shows up and does something, you want people to experience that, right? So if you're not coming into this night with a level of expectation, or you're not coming to youth night with expectation, or young adults, or church, or whatever it is, if you're not coming in with a level of expectation, then you're going to get about exactly what you expect to get out of it. But if you're coming in saying, the God of the universe has this invitation for more of Him, and to do something crazy and wild, He'll do it. So get excited about it. And if you're not there right now, pray about it. You got plenty of time to get excited about it and have your world wrecked between now and next Sunday morning, between now and March 8th. So there's that. What's the date on that?
Next Friday,
One More Man. He's got a couple tickets. Grab them and bring somebody that needs it. Awesome. See Eric Labby if you do. With that, guys, you're dismissed. Be blessed. Have a wonderful week. Thank you, guys.